Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
What I want to do is give you an update on something or a change that we have concerning a new logo for the ministry. Amen. And so you can, if you drove up this morning, you probably saw it behind me. I think there's something that's the reveal, praise God, as well as here. Amen. And there is going to be, there we go, praise the Lord. I'm talking faster than it's showing, praise the Lord. But doesn't that look good? Amen, praise the Lord. Now, what I want us to understand is there's no vision change. We still exist to win and disciple people to Christ. But we have been working on this logo change, and it's for a number of reasons. Number one is it's going to help us to better in the digital age that we live in now. This logo really converts really well in the digital format where others didn't. And there's another announcement I'll make at the end of the service today that ties with this. But want everyone to know there is no vision change. We still exist. We exist to win and disciple people to Christ. But there's a new look. Amen. And so I think that looks really good, don't you? Amen. Praise God. And we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. But we also have a new children's ministry change as well for our Cornerstone kids. And that's from our nursery through elementary ages. Amen. A new design for that as well. So you put your hands together for that as well today. Amen. Praise God. So these are some updates that we want to make you aware of. Of course, we could put that out and everybody walk by and say, what's different about that? Amen. Well, now you know, and we work together in this. Amen. And so we're so grateful for all the hard work that our ministry, all those in a helps ministry do to make week in and week out Cornerstone Fellowship Church a place that people can come and learn about Jesus and grow in their relationship with Him. Anybody thankful for that besides the pastor? I'm thankful for you today. Let's put our hands together for all our helps ministry. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning. Open your Bibles this morning to Luke 22. Luke 22. And this morning, at the end of the service, we're going to be receiving communion together. And in Luke 22 and verse 19 and verse 20, we're going to read this together. And he took bread, this is Jesus, and he gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 20 says, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Amen. And verse 19, one translation says, Jesus says it like this, do this to remember me. So the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion, this table that we're going to be partaking from in just a few moments, is not just some religious ordeal that we do monthly. It is based upon a covenant that God made with us through the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be precious and valuable. And Jesus said that we're to do this to remember Him. Amen. So today we're going to do three things. I'm going to do this pretty quick, but today we're going to do it. Number one, we're going to remember who He is, who Jesus is. Well, I know who Jesus is. I can assure you there's going to be some things that we talk about today that even though you know who Jesus is, you're going to have a bigger picture of Him. How many know that God can't be any bigger than He is to Himself? He's Almighty God, but He can be bigger to us. And through our knowledge of Him, that makes Him bigger. Bigger to us, at least. So we're gonna remember. Remember, Jesus said, do this to remember me. So He says, do this. When we take this, partake of the elements, we're to remember Him. So we're going to remember, number one, who He is. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to remember what He has done. We're going to talk about that. And then, last but not least, we're going to remember what that means for us. What that means for us. How that translates to our personal life is the most important thing. Because there's a lot of people that believe in a God, believe in Jesus, but they were like me growing up in church, and you've heard my testimony many times. I grew up in church, and for 24 years of my life, I thought because I did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things. Thought because I shook the preacher's hand as water baptized as a child. Thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me that I was right with God. But on March the 30th, 1986, at the age of 24, I heard a message that awakened my consciousness that even though I believed in God and believed in a Jesus, I had never done what God said to do with His own Son, and that is repent of my sins and receive Him as my own personal Lord and Savior. And so this is what we're talking about today is what does all of this mean to us? Because we can hear all about God, who He is. We can find out about what He's done. But until that translates home to us, then we're still not arriving at what God intended for us. Thankfully, for most of us in this room, we have. And so the things that we're talking about are really about remembering what He did and how we can better apply that to our life. We're remembering. Just like we remember the fallen, we ought to remember the one who gave His life for us and remember what that really means to us. Because today sometime, tomorrow sometime, the next day, next week, we're going to be confronted with things in life that we're going to need to remember what His body and blood has provided for us. For we live in a fallen world. And the god of this world system, Satan, is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is the one that is arrayed against us. But the good news is, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, by understanding what His death, burial, and resurrection has provided for us and that He's alive, what that means for us, if we can understand that and apply it to our life, then I can assure you we win every time over the devil and over his schemes. Can I get an amen? So number one, we're going to everybody say who He is. Today we're going to remember who God is. And this is the part in particular that I'm going to say some things today, even though that if you're saved, you're born again, you're on your way to heaven, you love Jesus, there's going to be things that, of course, you've heard that I've said, but there's going to be things that maybe you've never heard been said, and or at least said in a different way, no matter who we are. So today, I'm going to make a number of statements. I'm going to say them pretty quick. So all of you that are taking notes, amen, you would do well to realize this first portion here, instead of going to every scripture, I'm going to quote them. I'm going to tell you what Jesus has done and who He is concerning this, but I give you the scripture verse and you can write it down and you can go back and study that out for yourself. So we want to begin by talking about who He is, and I want us to turn to Psalms 118 and verse 22 and 23. When we turn to Psalms 118 and we're going to read verses 22 and verse 23, I want to remind us in here today, everybody listening to me, I know I talk fast and I give you a lot of information, but I'm believing today that the Holy Ghost is bringing revelation to you. This very thing that we're about to read, I want us to understand. Jesus quoted this portion of Scripture from the Psalms, both in Matthew 21 and in Luke chapter 20. This is written about Him. Amen. And He stood before the religious leaders of that day and telling them He was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. Now, here's what it says. The stone, everybody say the stone, which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. Verse 23. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Amen. Praise God. Now I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Ephesians 2 verse 20. And it says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Wow. Praise the Lord. Today, If you're writing this down, today's message is going to be entitled, Jesus Christ, the Cornerstone. You know, for years, many of you have been coming to this church, and you know the name of it is Cornerstone Fellowship Church. Today, in the reveal of the new logo, I wanted to talk about the real Cornerstone. In other words, if this church is named Cornerstone Fellowship Church, but it was built upon the true and only Cornerstone. Today, we see the scripture makes it very clear in case we were not aware or we've heard it or we just didn't put two and two together, or even if we have today, I want to talk about Jesus Christ, the Cornerstone. Both Old and New Testament speak of this very candidly and very often. And today, I think this logo makes it really clear that, or it points to the fact, or you can better understand when we finish this message today, why we chose the logo that we did. Now, today, I want us to understand who Jesus is. Remember who he is. Remember who he is. Well, Pastor, I remember who he is. He's my Lord. But praise God, I'm glad he is. But let's talk about who he is. Jesus is. Now, here's where you're going to have some writing to do if you want to do that. Amen. At least the scripture verse down so you can go back and look at that. Jesus is the stone. The stone, the chosen cornerstone and King of Israel and of all nations. Daniel chapter 2, verse 34 and verse 35. Jesus Christ is the stone and shepherd of Israel. Now notice how he's called the stone. Why? Because he is this cornerstone. He is the stone and shepherd of Israel. Genesis 49, verse 24, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, and John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus Christ is the stone which God made the head of the corner, or the cornerstone, meaning the most important stone in the building. So that's, we find that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. He is also, Jesus Christ is a living stone, chosen by God and precious. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the people of God, the church, which is built into a holy temple and habitation for the Lord by his Spirit. Ephesians 2, 20 through 22. Jesus Christ is the rock. Everybody say the rock. He is the rock that his people have been cut out of and hewn from to make his temple, his house to dwell in. Isaiah 51, verse 1. And Jesus Christ is the rock. Everybody say the rock. Is the rock that God builds his church upon, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Everybody say foundation. He is the foundation by which the church is built upon. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. And so we find whether it's the stone, cornerstone, rock, or foundation, they all talk to about Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, the Messiah, the Chosen One, the Anointed One, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, the God incarnate, God becoming a man to save the world and to restore mankind to himself, making his family, his body in which he now dwells and lives in and through. This is who Jesus, the cornerstone, is. Amen. So what has he done? I've chosen today, there's many things that we could talk about. I've chosen today to look together for us in this portion of Scripture that we talk about in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 11 through verse 22. And I will make several comments here and remind us of at least in part of what he's done in this portion of Scripture. It reminds us because we're to remember. Everybody say, we're to remember.
We're to remember who He is. He is the cornerstone. Amen. And we need to remember what the cornerstone has done. We need to understand and remember what Jesus Christ has done. So we're going to pick up in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, wherefore remember, everybody say remember. So remember what He has done. Now He's about to tell us what He's done. That ye being in time past Gentiles. How many know this, that all of us, the word Gentile actually just means, in other translations, translated heathen, it means apart from God. You're going to find out here that there's only three, well actually you won't find out here, but the scripture teaches us there's three classes, or I don't know, maybe that's not the best word, but three people groups on the earth today. The Jew, the Gentile, and the church. The Jew, the Gentile, and the church. Amen. So notice here, it says we needed to remember that being in time past, we were Gentiles. Now everyone, unless you were born a Jew, you are a Gentile. Because in order to be the church that many of you are, you had to be born again. This is why Jesus said a man must be born again. So you're either born a Jew, natural birth, or a Gentile natural birth. And the only way you can become the church is through a spiritual birth called being born again, the new birth. Amen. By the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit, by receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And, hallelujah. So what's important is that we are to remember and not forget who we used to be. Because who we are is not who we were. And the reason God wants us to be mindful that we were one time Gentiles is so that we can understand what God delivered us out of and what He delivered us from. He said, you were Gentiles in the flesh. Heaven and earth, this is why it says flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There has to be a spiritual change. And all of us, either Jew or Gentile, are in the flesh. The only way you get in the spirit or change is by being born again and by becoming, making Jesus the Lord of our life and becoming the church. Amen. So in times past, Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So the Jew was opposed to the Gentile. That's what it's saying. And you and I were opposed by them in this enmity that we're about to read about here. We need to remember where we were, because where we were is not where we are. And you need to understand that God did a great and mighty thing to deliver us. See, so many times we for some reason, without reading the Word of God, we do not get the seriousness of what God delivered us out of. In verse 12, it says that in time that you were without, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So notice, you were without hope. You and I without hope, without God, without a covenant. That's who we were. Well, I don't know about all that, Pastor Chris. I was just a good old boy. You were lost. You were undone. See, this is where a lot of times people get all messed up. Well, I'm not that bad of a person. I do good works. I do all that. Phooey, you were lost. Apart from Christ, we're lost. And we need to know this. This is why he said, remember, you didn't have a covenant because you weren't a Jew. You didn't have a covenant with God. You were without hope and without God in the world. But everybody say, but now. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, in other words, those that have made Jesus the Lord of life, you who are sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. How many know this table reminds us of His death? His blood reminds us of His death. Why does it need to remind us? Because His blood took you and I that were away and estranged from God and brought us right into His presence. Gave us access so you and I could have a relationship with Almighty God. But he goes on and he says, for he is our peace. Who is our peace? Jesus is our peace. Who have made both one. That means Jew and Gentile. Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection, God through Jesus did something to destroy the wall that separated the hatred between the people groups, between the Jew and the Gentile. God did something to destroy that. Amen. And it broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The thing that separated us became done away with in Christ Jesus. And it abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances. So not only was there a division in between Jew and Gentile, but because of the law separated between, because the Jew was to live by the law. The Gentile did not have God's command to live by. But God said, I did something to tear down even the things that separated there. For to make in himself of two one new man, so make him peace. So God did something through Jesus Christ where there would be whatever divided all the law, the enmity, the strife between Jew and Gentile. Jesus Christ came to remove all the hatred, all the enmity, all the strife, all division between those two people groups by changing both into one new man through Jesus Christ, making his body the church, amen, and Jesus Christ the cornerstone of that. Hallelujah. This is what we need to remember. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body. See, Jew needed to be reconciled to God just like Gentile did. Reconciled in, hallelujah, it says reconcile both unto God in one body. What do you mean in one body? In the body of Christ, the church. This is how the reconciliation between Jew and Gentile, God and man, through Jesus Christ, by the cross, having slain the enmity or the hatred thereby, and came, or Christ came, and preached peace to you that were far off. We are far off. All the Gentiles were far off. That's what he's saying. That were far from God. Jesus Christ loved the whole world. He came with a message of peace that God is not mad at you. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No man comes to the Father except by me. And peace can come to all man one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. He came and preached peace to you that were far off and to them that were near. Because even the Jew had to realize that they could not please God through just the keeping of the commandments or the keeping of the law. Keeping the commandments are right, but the law pointed to Christ, the one who they were to put their faith in. The commandments proved and the law proved that man needed a mediator. Man needed a God. Man needed a Savior because the commandments proved that we could not keep them. We could not be right with God apart from faith in Him. And Jesus Christ came, it said, and He preached peace to you that were far off and to them that were near. The Jew, near to God. The Gentile, us, far off. But he preached peace. And through him, or through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, one translation says, we all have access by one Spirit unto the Father. In other words, we have the right to the Father by the power of the Holy Ghost through Jesus Christ and what he's done. This is why we need to remember what he did and remember what was done for us. He did all these things for us. Now verse 19 says, and now therefore you, that's talking about Gentiles, are no more strangers and foreigners. You're no more strangers and foreigners in the household of God if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But fellow citizens with the saints, that means the the holy ones, the set apart ones. And we're holy and set apart one way by receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And of the household of God, oh, that's talking about God's family. Now notice, and are built upon. Where has us all built upon? And what are we built upon today? We're built upon the foundation. Who's the foundation? Who is the cornerstone? Who is the stone? Who is the rock? Jesus. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles, New Testament, and prophets, Old Testament, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone or the most important stone or part of the building, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. In whom, or Christ, ye are also built together for an habitation. In other words, a place where God lives, of God through his Spirit. Wow. This portion of Scripture accurately portrays what Jesus has done. We're to remember who we used to be. Gentiles, lost, without hope, without a covenant, without God. We need to remember what God has done for us. Jesus came and shed his blood to provide peace with us and God so we could actually come. So he tore down what separated us, not only from the Jew and the right to God, but to God himself, so that in one new man in the body of Christ, we could have access to God through the Spirit. Amen. And we are knowing that that's what God has done for us. And now who we have become? We have become the family of God. We have become the people of God. We have become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have become the sons and the daughters of God. We have become the church of the living God. All because of the cornerstone, Jesus himself. So number three, that is what he's done. Number three is, I know I'm going through this pretty quick for this, but you're listening good today. Praise the Lord. Number three, what that means for you and I. What does this mean for you and I? Today, we have a peace with God through the blood of Jesus that gives us access to God. I want to encourage us today, everything I'm talking about is by grace through faith. That means there's no way you could earn this. That means there's no way you actually deserved or qualified for this. God's unmerited favor actually means none of us deserve this, but this, because of God's grace, his unmerited favor, and his love for us, extended this mercy because of his love for us, because of who he is and how he views us. He was in love with us, not as sin, but us. We were the highest of all creation. And in case we have forgotten the very beginning of the book, in the book of Genesis, we sinned against God. Man did, and through that sin, all sin passed upon all men. Men, his transgression, Adam and Eve's transgression, cost the human race the death, as spiritual death passed upon all men. So God, in his love for man, sent his Son so that God himself could pay the price for our sin. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And the word death there means spiritual death, a separation from God. This is why Christ came, so that he could abolish through his death. He died in our place. He shed his blood, what was rightfully we would do, and pay the price for our sin. He paid and lifted them off so they could be remitted, that they'd be washed. And now we have peace with God. And not only peace with God, we can come to God, make him our God. Jesus becomes the cornerstone, becomes the Lord and Savior of our lives and changes us from the inside out. We become part of God's family with a living, as Dr. Ben so well spoke today, with a relationship with God. With a relationship with God. We can actually know God. For this is life eternal, Jesus said in John 17, that they may know thee, the only true God, in Jesus whom you have sent. See, it's knowing Jesus that we have, or through Jesus that we have a relationship with God. And that relationship should be growing. Today, I'm adding fuel to your fire. Today, I'm giving you knowledge, and through knowledge, the just shall be delivered. I'm giving you what a bigger picture of God, who is Jesus, the cornerstone. So every time you hear cornerstone, we should think of who? Jesus Christ, because that is who it is. And what you need to understand, in case you didn't hear that earlier, there in Isaiah 51:1, it says, we were hewn out of that pit, out of that quarry, out of him. We were cut from him. We were stoned out of the stone, out of the quarry, out of the pit that was dug by the master plan of God that God was unwilling to do without a family. And he was unwilling to do without a relationship with us. And by making Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, not only do we have a relationship with God, but now we're saved. We're his children. We're heirs of God and join heirs with Jesus Christ. And he makes us his house. See, he may be the God of the celestial heights, but I want you to know and hear today, he dwells in every believer's heart. The Bible tells us that we should pray that that revelation would be there in Ephesians 1, in Ephesians 3, that Christ, chapter 3, dwell in our heart by faith. Know you not, as Paul had to write to the Corinthian church, know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We see that in the Old Testament, the temple all pointed, that all pointed to God's plan, that we were going to be the temple of God. God's plan was always to not only live with man, but to dwell in man. That we are his temple. We had to become his body. And now he has come to live in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He makes us his house, his temple, his holy temple. He makes us his body. His body. And his body is still supposed to be powerful. His body is still supposed to be the salt and light. His body is still representing him on the earth today with all power and authority if we understand what it really is about and that he's come to dwell in us. It's a place. His glory lives in us, but it's to be manifested in and through our lives individually and corporately, and God lives in and through us. Now, in short today, this is who Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, is and what he has done. I want us to take a thought about, imagine this. The God of the universe actually comes to live on the inside of us. We need to be mindful of his presence. We need to understand that he's come and he changed us. We need to understand and walk in the light of the great revelation of God's Word, that not only are we new creatures in Christ, but he come to live on the inside of us, the cornerstone himself, Christ in us, the hope of glory. This great mystery that God would live in man has always been his plan. And it made possible through the cornerstone, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the many types and shadows that we have Old Testament and then revealed in the mystery of God in the New Testament, hopefully by what at least in part I shared today, you can see. And we can be thankful for who the cornerstone, the true cornerstone is. And this church, if we do it right, is always about representing Jesus Christ, his will. That may not be popular with everybody. That might not be popular with the world. It wasn't popular in Jesus' day. But it's popular with God. And as long as we please God, as long as we do what God says, and it should be our prayer that as a church that we move with Him. And His highest and His greatest call is remains the same for us all. It is to win and disciple people to Christ. It is the reason we exist. It is why we have breath today. In Him we live and move and have our being. And one translation says, in Him we live and move and have our identity. When we understand, see, we're not forgetting, I hope, that our true identity is Christ. We're not confused on who we are. We are of God, little children, and have already overcome them, because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. So I'm not confused about my identity. I know who I am. I am of God. I have been born of God. But I also understand with that identity there comes a great inheritance. I'm an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath already blessed us with every spiritual blessing that have in Christ that heaven itself enjoys. That means that whatever Christ has, whatever heaven has, we have. It belongs to us. Amen. Praise God. And it means that when we understand that, then we are to fight the good fight of faith. We're to push back on all that opposes us. Anything that tries to withhold us from inheritance, we stand up with the authority of God and say, the blood has been applied. I've been redeemed. I'm a new creature in Christ. The stripes of Jesus has been laid on His back, so by His stripes I'm healed. I have the mind of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, all these things belong to us. Not in the sweet by and by. Not when we get to heaven. We won't need them in heaven. There's no, He prepares a table before us, Psalms 23 says, in the presence of our enemies. There ain't no enemies in heaven. But there's enemies here. And this table causes us to remember who Christ is, what He's done for us, and what that means for us. That we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. And I don't know the last time that you checked about how rich God was. He's pretty rich. How blessed Jesus is. He's pretty blessed. Where we're in Him and He's in us. But it's through revelation to understand, I accept that. I'm going to live that way. And I'm going to hell or high water. I'm standing and fighting the good fight of faith against everything that would oppose or deny that in my life. Because this belongs to me in Jesus' name. And we as the church need to preach this Jesus to the world, this peace to the world, that God offers this to them. He's not mad at them. No, their sin, yes, their sin separates them from God, but He has done something to produce peace. Jesus Christ to tear down every wall. Every enmity, every hatred, everything that would divide man from man and man from God, Jesus Christ came and died, buried, and rose again from the dead, and ever lives at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us, so that those things that are His belongs to His church. And we as salt and light are to go into the world and we're to proclaim what God has done. So, we have an identity. I'm not confused about it. We have an inheritance. And now, we last but not least, with this, we have the power to live that life. Why? Because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Now the Holy Ghost lives in us. Now Christ in us, the hope of glory. Our problem is we see Chris in us instead of Christ in us. Come on. Or you can put your own name there. No, 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 no. We know no man. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, right before he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He says, we now know, therefore know no man after the flesh. So God is not impressed with your flesh because He can't bless your flesh, but He blesses you in Christ, and He expects you to see yourself in Christ, because it's in that place you have the power to live this brand new life. When you understand that, then it ain't no substance. There ain't no person. There is no devil in hell that can stand between you and God, that can pull you down, can hold you back. It's revelation in these things that cause our freedom, cause our deliverance, cause us to rise up as who we are, knowing what God has given to us. And now the power. See, the world wants power. Have you ever seen it? That there's controlled by money, greed, and power. And the people that's got it, bless God, they never stop moving in that way. Because the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. And so people that go the wrong way, the power is all about them and about gaining more and more. But it's different when you get in the kingdom of God. It's about you got power now to be free, and you got power to bless humanity, power to help others, power to take the message that freed you to other people, so people can come out of the darkness and become a child of God, receive the freedom and the liberty, the inheritance, and this power now, as it changed you, it's not used for you, it's used to bless humanity. That same power that Jesus talked about in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. This is who Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, is, and what he has done. The question we must ask ourselves today is, who do you say that he is? Who do you say that he is? I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. We'll look at this passage of scripture. I'm going to ask the praise and worship team to come, and Ryan just to play. Y'all just come, because we will be receiving communion. This is a good time. Praise the Lord. If you turn there with me in Matthew 16, and we'll read this together, and beginning with verse 13. When you get there, say, I'm there. Praise the Lord. That sounded like most of you. Praise the Lord. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, you know, everybody's got their opinion. Everybody's got their opinion. You know, everybody does have an opinion, but you better be careful about opinions. Some say, here's what he said, they're reporting. Some say you're John the Baptist, others Elijah, or others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Well, here's the real question. And he said to them, to his disciples, but whom do you say that I am? The people that followed him, people here today, he's still asking that question. Whether they're in this audience or in the audience in live stream, but who do you say that I am? Now notice, and Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. Now notice what Jesus responded. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood, that means no man, could reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. See, when you could live all your life, you could go to school, you could go to college, you could be in a good family, you could hear all kind of stuff about God and even Jesus. But there has to come a day, just like in my own life, on March the 30th, 1986, that it became real to you who Jesus is. And you know, only the Holy Spirit can do that. And this is why it is so important to be in a place that you can hear the Word of God. The Word of God taught with the anointing of God. Listen, because there's only one way faith can come. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How can a person live that life for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, and hear about God, hear about a Jesus, and walk away? And then come to a church like this and hear about the cornerstone. hear about, and all of a sudden see that he's not just, he was a historical figure. He actually lived. More historical proof that Jesus Christ lived and did what he did than there is for Julius Caesar. So history not only proves out, but how come all of a sudden in a moment that it goes from being information, historical, to revelation? And I see my need of him. I can tell you how that happens. Happens by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who Jesus said, he said, if I go, if I die, I will send the promise of the Father. He'll be just like me in every way. He'll lead and guide you into all truth. He'll take of mine and show it unto you. In other words, Jesus said we could sit in a server just like this today and hear about himself, and all of a sudden, unbeknown to us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is made real to us. And our need of him is made real to us. Not only is he God manifest in the flesh, but more importantly, he never stops there. He lets us know of our need for him. That we are, or we were, we either are or were lost and undone in our sins. We either were or are. And if we are, then this is why he sent his son. And this is why you're hearing that message today, so you can change that. See, there'll be no good people in heaven. What do you mean? There'll only be saved people in heaven. Being good don't get you to heaven. Being saved gets you to heaven. How do you save? By repenting of your sins and inviting Jesus into the Lord to be the Lord of your life. And decide to follow him. See, this is more than fire insurance. This is changing the course and destiny of every life that's listening. If you think that what I'm talking about today is only fire insurance, it is fire insurance. In other words, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There's a real hell to shun. 46 times Jesus talked about and warned about eternal destruction. Hell, eternal destruction, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. In some form or fashion, Jesus 46 times in the four Gospels talked about, more than anyone else, about hell and eternal damnation. He didn't do that because he didn't love us. He did that to warn us from going from that to go that place. So there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And so today, he's calling you to receive the life that he came to give. This table reminds us that in his death, he provided life for us. So bow your hearts and heads with me in closing today. It's heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians praying.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.